minutes after the first hour here of the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Oh, a little breaking news on this Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. There it is. That's the breaking news music. Wow. Doesn't get much more breaking than that. Zach Stevens joining me now from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my friend, we have our general manager.
Brady, we do. The Broncos just hired George Payton of the Minnesota Vikings on a six-year deal, meaning he doesn't have to worry about any instability that the organization may face with ownership in the next couple of years. He's going to be here for a long time.
Wow. All right. So first off, Zach, take us through the process here. Why George Payton? Why did the Broncos decide to make this move?
Well, so the Broncos ended up interviewing five candidates, and it really came down to Terry Fontenot of the Saints and George Payton. George Payton, the only guy to have an in-person interview, and also the most experienced guy. And that shouldn't be a surprise as to something that Vic Fangio and John Elway, two guys who have been in the NFL for many decades, were looking for. And George Payton just really impressed them. Not only was he one of the hottest candidates this year, guys, not just for the Broncos, but for around the NFL, he's one of the hottest guys and candidates over the NFL the past couple of years. Last year, he actually turned down the Browns' job, pulled away from them because he was really picky. He loves Minnesota. He's been Rick Spielman, the Vikings general manager. He's been his right-hand man in Minnesota for over a decade now. And so he really got to pick and choose what he wanted. And George Payton called the Broncos a sleeping giant in one of the reasons why he came here. And he said he's heard a lot of good things about Denver. So the Broncos can be happy that they're in Denver for pulling Rick away, or for pulling George away from Minnesota.
All right, so what does this mean? I mean, you and I talked on Monday about all the obvious, right? The quarterback, the head coach, big-time players like Justin Simmons, contracts coming up. First off, what does this mean for, let's go Drew Lock. What does this mean for Drew Lock's future with Denver?
Well, Drew Lock, it's the exact same as it was before they hired a general manager, in my eyes. And George Payton, one of the things that he's done in Minnesota is he's done it all when it comes to the quarterback position. Since he's been with the Vikings the past 14 years, the Vikings have used two first-round draft picks on a quarterback. Of course, Christian Ponder and Teddy Bridgewater. They've traded a first-round pick for a quarterback when they traded a first-round pick to acquire Sam Bradford. And they've also gone out in the free agent market and have spent big-time money on quarterbacks when they brought in Brett Favre back in the day. And then also, of course, Kirk Cousins giving him the huge record-setting contract that they gave him. So what this means for the Broncos at quarterback is it means all options are on the table. They could trade a first-round pick to acquire Matthew Stafford this offseason. They could use a first-round pick, number 9 overall, to get a Mac Jones, a Justin Fields, a Zach Wilson. Or they could go out in the free agent market and try to lure, you know, there's not a huge name out there anymore, but maybe a Phillip Rivers or something like that. Or they could also stay and develop Drew Lock. But one of the things that you look at the quarterback position with the Vikings since Payton's been there is they haven't let quarterbacks develop for too long. So Drew may get another year, but don't expect it to be any more than just 1 year. In his 14 years in Minnesota, the Vikings had 16 different starting quarterbacks.
Oh, wow. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. That one's the saga that never ends as far as that quarterback position. What about Vic Fangio? We talked about, you know, which GMs would make more sense for Vic. Is this a pro-Vic move, or is this something where you wonder, eventually, is George Payton going to want his own guy? Certainly next season we're going in with Vic Fangio, but what kind of pressure's on him?
Well, yeah, and with George Payton getting a six-year contract, he can sit back and not make any major changes if he doesn't want to. So Vic, of course, is going to get this year, but then George Payton is going to have all of the power here. It's very clear that he was so picky with his choices that he will have full control, not just over himself in the 53-man roster, but he'll have full control over the coaching staff and what moves he wants to make. So this is a big year for Vic because Vic, of course, not the best record right now, getting all the benefit of the doubts, but George will be able to make a move with the head coach if he wants to down the road.
You had tweeted out, again, Zach Stevens, DNVR, that's your that's his Twitter account. Broncos new GM, George Payton, drafting and developing players is the number one priority. We will be aggressive but not reckless and adding talent to our roster. And then you added, Zach, could be great news for Justin Simmons staying in Denver. Does that lead you to kind of believe that Justin Simmons is not going anywhere?
Yeah, just a week ago, Brady, we were talking about how Justin Simmons was saying his goodbyes to the Broncos. This has to be fantastic news if Justin wants to stay in Denver. And I think ultimately Justin does want to stay in Denver, and this is great for them. Because look at this. George can come in and keep the Broncos all pro. The guy they drafted, he doesn't want to let this guy walk away. So I do believe this is huge news for Justin Simmons. And right now, I do believe Justin Simmons will be a Bronco. And 1 week ago, I did not think that was going to be the case. Drafting and developing your own guys. When you say that, the first move that you don't want to do is come in and let probably your most developed player that you drafted just walk out the door. So I think this is huge. In Minnesota, George Payton and the Vikings have paid safeties in the past, Harrison Smith being one of the guys they drafted, developed, and paid. So I definitely see that helping Justin staying here.
Huge news. I mean, if you want to get on that improve, you have to keep one of your top players and then kind of build around him on that defensive side. Speaking of the defensive side, Von Miller, what does that mean for a Broncos legend, really?
Well, it's the same thing before the general manager hire. Von Miller is not going to be a Bronco, in my opinion, next year on the current price tag he's on. I believe George Payton will understand how good Von Miller is and wants to keep him around, but it's going to be at a pay cut. And is Von Miller going to be open to that? If so, then I think he stays a Bronco. If he's not willing to take, you know, a half a pay cut, then I don't think he'll be here, because the Broncos just aren't going to be pushed around and pay a guy that has 8 sacks in the past years. They're not going to pay him $22 million and have him be the highest paid player. So George Payton, I don't think this changes the outlook on Vaughn.
What kind of pay cut do you see being realistic here? I mean, how many millions are we lopping off that contract, Zach?
So right now he's at $22 million cap hit for next year. If the Broncos cut him, it only costs them $4 million against the cap, so they would save $18 million. I honestly think at the end of the day, we're talking about nearly cutting half. So Von Miller could be around $11 million, and maybe you throw in $5, $6 million of incentives. And certainly if Von Miller would hit those incentives, you would be happy paying him $16, $17 million. But that's something that Von may not be open to, because he's obviously very confident in himself and what he's done in his career. And before he got injured in training camp, Brady, he was looking fantastic. He was looking like he was ready for a huge year. And so he may keep that same mentality and say, no, I'm a top pass rusher in this league. I want 20-plus. And I don't believe he'll be back with the Broncos on that sort of number.
Zach, with your connections, are you hearing anything that would lead you to believe that Vaughn would take that kind of a pay cut and finish his career with the Broncos?
You know, and that's what it's going to come down to is, does he want to finish his careers with the Broncos? The Broncos do, but at the right price. Guys, right now, I'm not too sure that he'd be willing to take a huge pay cut like that. And what could happen, though, is the Broncos could extend him, make it more than just a one-year pay cut, but instead extend him, bring the cap number down this year, and almost have it be a prove-it deal where they have a couple of years on the end of the deal, and if he does well, then they pick up another option in order to keep him around for that $20 million price tag. But one thing that can't be forgotten is John Elway drafted Von Miller number 2 overall. John Elway signed him after Cropgate and everything that went on with those contract negotiations. John Elway still did sign him to the largest defensive player contract ever. John Elway has been Von Miller's biggest advocate and has been the one that wanted to keep him around, that instantly decided last year that he was going to keep him around, even though he had a contract option where he didn't have to keep him around. Now John Elway's not making that final decision. So but just like Drew Locke kind of lost John Elway, his biggest supporter, this offseason, well, Von Miller lost John Elway, who was also his biggest supporter.
Yeah, that whole process is going to be fascinating, and to see just if John Elway is going to pull back, if George Payton really is going to have all this control, that's gonna be fun to watch, man. Must see. All right, the draft. How about the draft? Payton was a defensive back in his college days, and we're already thinking, you know, defensive back's going to be the move. I mean, I'm almost ready to put money on that, Zach. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks pretty good, and especially when you look at his drafting history with the Vikings. Like I said, 14 years out there in Minnesota, and five of those first-round picks that Minnesota had, they used a pick on a defensive back in the first round. Broncos need a defensive back. Seems to be lining up pretty well for that to be the pick. Of course, I also said that they used two first-round picks on quarterbacks during his time there. So half the time, they're either going quarterback or defensive back. I mean, those are the two things that the Broncos need the most right now. So right now, I would put my money on cornerback, with quarterback being right there as well. And also, if you expand it past the first round, just look at the first three rounds of the draft. He's drafted defensive back 12 times. So you can almost guarantee that the Broncos will be going defensive back at least first, second, or third round this year. And right now, I put my money on first.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Okay, let me ask you our poll question, and then we'll let you go, Zach. With this move today, you get your general manager. You know, this is obviously before the draft. We have a lot to figure out with free agency. But what are your expectations of the Broncos next season? Do you expect this team to be on the improve, a 500 team? Do you expect playoffs, or do you have zero expectations because it does still feel like a strange year with the ownership situation?
Yeah, boy, so much influx. I mean, let's say 1 year from now I'm looking back on this year, my answer probably should be zero expectations for this team. But I'll say, especially because they're keeping Vic Fangio going into his third year, they have an offensive coordinator going into his second year, I still think that there should be improvement with this team. And obviously, I can answer this question better once we find out the quarterback position. But I would assume this team should take a step forward. And it's not like the bar has been incredibly high. I mean, 5-11, that should be easy to do, even when you have a new general manager. I'll say flirting with 500 is what the expectation should be for this team.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun. There's a lot of questions still out there. We got one of them answered today, Zach. Appreciate you as always, my friend. Throw out that Twitter handle. I know you're putting together a lot of information for us. Let our listeners know how they can find you.
I'm at Zach Stevens, DNVR. Really appreciate that, Brady.
Zach, we love having you on, my friend. And, hey, when we can get you on twice in, 3 days, I think it's a pretty good week.
I would say so. A lot more news coming, too, so I'm sure we'll be in touch.
All right, my man. That's Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. It is a Broncos day today, isn't it? I mean, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. But Colfax, an old friend of the show's coming on. Dalton Reisner. Oh, my goodness. A current friend of the show, I should say. Mark, we're going to have Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, on, too. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl, you got to give... I mean, I know he's on every week, but no, it's always a great time to talk to Mark, so we'll get him on the program as well. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Colfax, I'll ask you, what are your expectations? You got your general manager now, George Payton. I mean, listen, sounds like a great move. You don't know. Who knows? Sounds like a great move, though. What are your expectations for this team? Win more than 5 games? Zero expectations? Not to have a losing record? Or are you going in, man? Are you saying, oh, this seems a playoff team now?
Zero expectations.
Yeah, if they surprise us, great. I'll happily admit that I'm wrong, but I'm not going. This isn't Brady of 2020. I'm not going 11 wins, Colfax.
Nope.
You have to win more than 5 games if you want Vic Fangio as the head coach, if you want him to stick around. You have to. That's it. Vic will be fired if they do the 5-game, 6-game thing. That's it. And then Vic's done. So most of the Hooligans are saying, hey, win more than 5 games. That's what I expected of you. You expected. All right. Well, there you go. 19 minutes after the hour. The Nuggets have some issues, folks. We're going to talk about that coming up. Bol Bol gets the start. Gary Harris is out for personal reasons. And did Michael Porter Jr. does he have COVID? We're going to talk about that and so much more coming up next. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon. We'll be right back.
For Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Mark Johnson coming up at the bottom of the hour of the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And very excited to have Dalton Reisner on the show. Sure, he knows about one of his new bosses, right? I'm going to ask him what he thinks of the hire. Dalton is an amazing dude. If you do not follow him on social media, you should. He is an excellent guy. We had the honor of talking to him right before the draft, and we've been trying to set something up since then. Schedules just didn't work out, but we're going to get him on the show in the second hour, so stay tuned for that one. He's an awesome dude. Let me tell you guys quickly here about SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. SCL is family and veteran-owned, and you heard that interest rates are at all-time lows, so now is the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have. You know, car loans, credit cards, student loans, that interest is not tax deductible and your house payment is. Check them out at myspecialmortgage.com. Pillow Fight Dan says, my expectation is that we'll overreact to everything. Well, you're talking about the Broncos. I mean, yeah, that's what we do. We asked the question last week, what state is this? Is it still a Broncos state? Yes, it always will be. And we will overreact. We're also overreacting probably, or are we, about the Denver Nuggets? So, interesting, Colfax, we've been asking what's going on with Michael Porter Jr. When Mike Malone was asked after the Mavericks loss last week, he said, he's not here, I'm not going to talk about him until he's with the team. Well, he kind of was listing the reasons why they're struggling right now, and he revealed something to us all that we were wondering about with MPJ. Here is Mike Malone.
Well, it'd be nice if we were fully healthy. You know, we're without two starters tonight, Katie. No Gary Harris, no Michael Porter. I don't think we've been whole the whole year. Jermichael Green was out early. Michael Porter has been out with COVID, and Gary was not here due to personal reasons. So I think that's one thing that will help us.
Michael was out due to COVID. Now, when I first heard that, I just thought he was kind of glossing over due to COVID, you know, because we all kind of call it that, right? We all just say, well, yeah, since COVID. That doesn't, I'm not necessarily saying you have COVID, Colfax, but yeah, things have changed in Greeley and Fort Collins because of COVID, you know. So at first I kind of thought, but then I'm reading all the other articles out there, and they're all saying Malone acknowledges Porter Jr. has had the virus. So there goes that idea that we had from a texter on Monday that said, oh, well, I don't think they're going to tell us. He probably has COVID, but the NBA has restrictions against letting people know. It's a privacy thing. No, it hasn't been. And so that didn't change now. So why not let us know that earlier? Does this still seem fishy? What's happening here? You know, I mean, shouldn't he be, how long has he been out? I'm going back to the last game he played, and that was against the Kings. What day was that? You know, was that 2 weeks ago? It was 2 weeks ago. And we're still hearing, you know, he's out indefinitely. When did they play Sacramento? Tuesday, December 29th. And then it was like the next day we heard, right? Because he didn't play against the Suns. He had 30 in that game. Can we get Michael Porter Jr. healthy again if that's what it is? Well, it's so bizarre to me, Colfax. You have to have him back. We have a lot of things to talk about with this Nuggets team, but Malone's right. You have to be whole again. You have to get your group back. But this whole Porter Jr. thing has been bizarro since he was out. Basically, you know, we hear that right before the Suns game, it's Porter's going to miss some time due to COVID contact tracing. Then it was, oh, he'll be back for the Mavericks game. Yeah, I thought that was weird too, didn't you? We had our guy, Chris Dempsey, on, and I'm asking him while on Twitter. I'm seeing that another Altitude TV personality tweeted out that Michael Porter Jr. would be good to go for the Mavericks. And then I asked Chris, and he goes, no, not going to. So, Chris, that's why he's our insider. He knows before anything happens, Colfax. I think he knows it before the virus knows. So anyway, you hear that, and then suddenly it's, nope, he's out 10 days. And then over the weekend, it's he's out indefinitely. And then finally today, or yesterday, after the Brooklyn loss, you hear, well, he's out due to COVID. So I have no idea. Nuggets lose to the Nets last night, 122-116. They decide to start Bol Bol. So Gary Harris is out. Michael Porter Jr. is out. Let's just start a center in their place. Here's Mike Malone on starting the 7-2 Bol Bol.
Just some size, you know, size, length. You know, Bol's been working very hard. I know it was, end of the game in New York in the Garden the other night, but I thought he played well. He was engaged. He played hard. Days that we haven't practiced, he's been working very hard. So this was just an opportunity for him to go out there, play with the starting group, have a chance to match up with a guy like Kevin Durant, and maybe use his 7'2 frame, 7'9 wingspan, you know, to maybe make things difficult.
Okay. I mean, I'm all for giving Bol Bol time, and we saw him at the end of the Knicks game. But you know Garrett Harris, so okay, we're going to start Bol Bol. I mean, you could have Jamichael Green. Could have started Campazzo. Could have started. You could have. And I get it, Brooklyn. You're going a little bit bigger there. Try to slow down Kevin Durant. Okay, all right. But is this a weird move to you? Like, we barely see Bol Bol. We see him in you know, garbage minutes, and then suddenly he's starting, and he only played 16 minutes. PJ Dozier, meanwhile, is not. He might get it. I don't know. But he played 27 minutes. He's in late situations. We have been talking about Mike Malone's growth the past, ever since he started with the Nuggets. It's all been positive. Are we finally getting to a point where we're questioning lineups, we're questioning decisions, we're questioning his answers to questions? It's an interesting time, folks. Let me know what you think. Text the program on our First Advantage text line. That's 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number, 970-478-1301. Colfax, we're going to switch gears here. We will be talking some Colorado Buffaloes. This Buffs basketball team is looking really good, man. I mean, I love watching this team. We'll talk to Mark about that. Also, the Buffs were in the news yesterday. Moving on from their defensive coordinator. So we'll talk about that and more coming up with Mark Johnson. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, I want to thank Auto Tailor. They take care of my vehicle. They take care of my wife's vehicle. And they've been doing so for a very long time. Auto Tailor in Greeley, their master technicians, are here for you guys to assist in troubleshooting vehicle problems. And we'll explain what's happening with your vehicle in easy-to-understand terms. Maybe it's just time to get that oil changed or what have you. Check out Auto Tailor in Greeley. Strongly recommend them. We're efforting Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, talk about those Buffs, and we will talk about Tyson Summers too. Carl Durrell decides to move on from defensive coordinator over the last 2 years, and I get it, not wanting to make that move last year because he got a late start to the game. But we'll talk about that a little bit as well. When we read a couple of texts here, Lieutenant Spangle says the Nuggets put all their eggs into the Murray basket and neglected the bench that made them so good. Man, you're starting to wonder about that contract, folks. There's some deep issues going on with Jamal Murray. No question about it. Something is off. And we have our whole minute video up. It's available at wholeshow.com. Check that out. We do have the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes on, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, that Utah game, I was a little concerned in that first half, but the Buffs put together an absolutely monster second half and walked away with a W, 65-58.
Oh, ye of little faith. I wasn't worried at all.
I got to learn my lesson at some point.
Yeah, my nose is growing right now. That was a little bit concerning, certainly. I mean, you were down by 10 points at the half, not playing very well. Offensively, I thought they looked terrible. As Tan said in the post game, he said, heck, we looked like we were running in mud in the first half. But they found themselves in the second half. I thought played with a lot more energy in that second half and picked up a huge, that's a huge road win. I know people are looking at Utah and saying, well, this isn't Utah team of the last few years. But that's a pretty darn good Utah team in a place that Colorado hadn't won since 2012. And that looks awful good on the resume, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no question. Is there any concern, Mark, though, when you look at this offense? We had Coach Boyle on last week, and, you know, just looking at some of the games, you know, he was happy about winning that game against Oregon, obviously. But he said, hey, when you can be in that position with the way our offense played in that first half to come out with a win, you got to be feeling pretty good. Well, the first half of this Utah game, the offense was sputtering a bit. Is there any major concern about that? Or do you just think this is going to happen throughout the season? You're going to see this happen sometimes.
Yeah, and I don't think it was an X's and O's issue offensively the first half, Brady. Ted and I talked about this the pregame before the game, ironically, since they didn't play with energy in the first half of that contest. And I said to him, I said, isn't it interesting what a difference simply playing with energy makes? Coming out and, you know, getting up in guys' faces defensively, hard cuts on the offensive end, the ball never sticks, it moves, and it starts first passes. And when you do that, when you play with that kind of energy, it's amazing how well you can play. And so I don't think when the Buffs have had an offensive struggle, listen, shots are going to not go in. That's going to happen at times. But what you can control is your pacing, how crisp you are, how sharp your cuts are, the way you're moving the ball. When that kind of stuff happens, when you're doing that consistently, the offense will find itself. Now, are three-pointers going to go in? Not all the time. But you're going to get good looks. You're going to get layups. You're going to get backdoor cuts. And so I don't think there's any concern about this Colorado team offensively. But, you know, they got to be consistent with the energy they play with game in and game out.
It was a nice game, though, for Deshaun Schwartz. They really needed that performance. But is this another thing? You know, we're talking about concerns. Is this a sign of good things to come? We start seeing more games like this from Schwartz.
No, I hope so. He had back-to-back double-doubles. And, you know, he's finally, you know, what he's done, I think he's become less concerned about his shot and more concerned about playing basketball. What I mean by that, he had two double-digit rebounding games. What he had 11 the first one, I think 15 in the game against Utah. Deshaun's a big boy. I've always said that about him. Yes, he's a three-man. He's a wing guy, but he's 6'8", 230 pounds. He handles the ball well, and he can body guys up. He can rebound consistently. I've always thought Deshaun Schwartz should be a 12 and, you know, 6 or a 14 and 5 kind of guy, game in and game out. You can write that down every day. He's got that kind of ability. And then on top of it, oh, by the way, he can also shoot about 40% from downtown. Now, what happens with him sometimes is when the shot's not falling, and that begins to then affect other things, you know, within his game. And that's what he's got to be careful of. But right now, he's playing very well, and he's doing those other things. So when he does those other things, when he's kind of that third cog, if you will, that team plays well. And then obviously we saw what Jabari Walker did the other night as well and the kind of players he's becoming. So if those two guys are putting up those kind of numbers, I think Colorado's going to do just fine.
And McKinley Wright, you know, he's one of the more, to me, one of the more interesting college superstars, because you're not going to see, you know, it's very common to see a 9-point game and still go, well, he still played well. I mean, McKinley Wright is a guy, I know he didn't shoot very well in that game, but, you know, he does everything else right. A kind of, you know, completely different players, but, you know, you go Nikola Jokic for the Nuggets, and you don't care if he has 15 points because he does so many things else right.
Well, I've said this about McKinley, and Pat has echoed this many times. I mean, it's amazing, but McKinley Wright concerns himself with one thing, winning basketball games, right? That's what he wants to do, is win basketball games. And so if he needs to shoot, fine. He can score 21. If he needs to rebound, fine. He can get the 10 like he had in that game against Oregon. If he needs to get assists, fine, he can do that as well. He's going to become the all-time assist leader in this game on Thursday afternoon against Cal. He's one away from breaking the tie with Jay Humphrey. So he does whatever is needed to be done. Some guys get so concerned about getting their points. He's concerned about doing the job that needs to be done in order to get a win, and that's what makes him so impressive. That's why he's going to go down as one of the greatest busts of all time.
Yeah, no question. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Well, Mark, on the football side of things, a surprise to me anyway, Tyson Summers is out as the defensive coordinator. Defense looked pretty good, I mean, in a small sample size. But is this more or less just, all right, Carl Durrell was new last year, he got a late start, and now he wants to get more guys that are going to see his vision, so to speak?
I think that's part of it. I mean, you know, I thought in 2 years Tyson did a very nice job. There were some inconsistencies on the defensive side, but overall it was a pretty good job done by Tyson Summers 1 year under Mel Tucker, 1 year under Carl Durrell. But there's no, you know, there's an old line in college athletics that always says when a new athletic director comes in, a new basketball coach and football coach follow soon, right? Because they want their people in there. They want their soldiers in there, you know, kind of doing their bidding and seeing their vision, as you just put it. And I think there's truth in that with a football coach as well. When Carl came in, it was such a quick transition. And although I'm sure he felt very good, he probably didn't have much history. And so, nice job. Okay, we can go in that direction. But then when you look at it now, a year down the road, he's probably thinking, okay, what are guys that really, truly see what I'm all about? Maybe I've got history with, I've worked with, I'm very familiar with their resume. They've got a similar defensive philosophy that I do. And so you see this frequently in college athletics. I don't think it's a huge shot in terms of being a negative to Tyson Summers. I don't know if he's going to find a new job, but it's not a shot against him in terms of his coaching ability. I think it's more just of we're making sure we're all walking the same direction here. And I think that's what this move is all about.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Mark, give us some information next game time for the Buffs tomorrow. What's it? Tomorrow afternoon, right?
Boy, how about that? I mean, how about these game times lately? You know, when you don't have to worry about fans being there. You can schedule at any time, and that's what television's doing. So we've got a noon game tomorrow. 12 o'clock noon at the event center. The Buffs, the Cal Golden Bears, will hit the air on the Colorado Basketball Network at 11:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, I think last week for us, the Bears played at like 6 in the morning. No, it was like 9 in the morning. It felt like 6 in the morning, though. You're right. With no fans, you can do whatever you want.
That's exactly right.
Mark, appreciate you, as always, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, look forward to it, Brady. See you.
All right, the Buffs will have California at noon tomorrow, and then Stanford on Saturday. That'll be a 1 o'clock tip-off as well. Some big games coming up in the Pac-12. Stanford, I'll be interested to see how they perform in this one. Good record, but are they a for real team in the Pac-12? First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day: what are your expectations of the Broncos next season? Win more than 5 games? You think that this team needs to be a playoff team? You expect them to be a playoff team? Boy, if you expect this team to be a playoff team based on what you saw this season, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. You're drinking some Kool-Aid. You don't even know who the quarterback is. There is nothing I will listen to today that will tell me that Vic Fangio is the future of this organization. He is, I mean, right now, he's nothing more than a stopgap. And listen, he is a genius when it comes to defense. I love the guy's personality. I really do. I like Vic Fangio. But as a head coach, haven't seen it. You know, he's only had 2 years as a head coach, and there's nothing about that that would lead me to believe he's the future of this organization. This is going to be, we're just talking about Carl Durrell with his defensive coordinator. Tyson Summers moved on from him. It might be the same kind of situation. You know, you get your new GM settled in, and, you know, he gives it the one more year just to see, and then we're cleaning house. So what are your expectations for the Broncos next season, or of the Broncos next season? Zero expectations, maybe. 46 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. Don't forget, we'll have Dalton Reisner on the program. Excited to talk to him. It's been a while. Last time we talked to him was before the draft. So a Colorado kid. I love it. I love his attitude. I love his promotion. I love that he's a Bronco. I mean, he's one of the good ones. And he's been really a bright spot for the Broncos the last 2 years. This year, especially, that offensive line, perhaps the best group on this team. So we'll talk to Dalton about that. We'll get his thoughts on the playoffs, too. I mean, does he find himself sitting on the couch watching playoff games, or do you try to avoid it all and get away from it for a while? So we'll talk to Dalton about that in the second hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. No Co. Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
On the time, Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I don't think Dixon's ever going to let me forget the hashtag 11-5, Colfax. I mean, you did it as well, man. I mean, come on, Colfax. You went 11-5 as well.
And we got it right. It's 5-11-11-5.
We did, yeah. Dixon, you're being too particular, man. You're being picky.
The order of the numbers doesn't matter.
No. We said there's going to be 11-5 somewhere around there,
yep.
And looks like they were. They were 11 losses and 5 wins. So, yeah, most people say wins first, but, you know, we kind of changed things around. So, yeah, we posted 11-5, but we got there. Doesn't matter how you get there. We got there somehow.
I don't know what to say. I mean, we were right.
We absolutely were right.
Splitting hairs here.
Yeah, we're splitting hairs. He says you're better off letting Susan and Cheryl post their predictions. Huh. They don't predict. They just cheer. You know, just like that. Do the Nuggets have a problem here? Now, I once compared, and I still compare the Nuggets organization and the rise to what success they're seeing, very similar to Golden State. You know, you start building from the draft, not necessarily going out and getting all the big money free agents. You build up your team through the draft, and you start getting better. And Mark Jackson was your coach, and you know, they figured, all right, Mark got us this far, but he's not the guy that's going to get us over the top. And they move on from Jackson, and shortly after that, Steve Kerr comes in and then wins a title. I mean, there for a while, Steve Kerr was, you know, winning titles all the time. I once compared those two organizations. Is Mike Malone the Mark Jackson in this situation? It's worth asking. I asked this in the bubble last year. Now, again, folks, we also have to remember this. What the Nuggets did in the bubble was truly extraordinary. It was historical. No one's ever come back from down 3-1 twice in 2 playoff series. It's rare. It's never going to happen again. Did the Nuggets show us a little fool's gold in the bubble? I mean, Jamal Murray certainly did. My whole minute, though, Colfax, we stress this. The best of Jamal in the bubble was fantastic. But he was still inconsistent. It's easy to forget because we have this lasting image of Jamal Murray and the shoes and the tears. And, you know, he's exhausted after the 50-point game. And, you know, he bends down at the end of the game and the camera is perfectly centered on his back. And he's got freedom on his jersey and he's emotional. And it's like, oh, it's glorious. Camera one, go, action. And NBA fans loved it and ate it up, and we did too. It was tremendous. But when the smoke settled, Jamal Murray was still very much Jamal Murray. High scoring, could do some tremendous things, but then he goes back into this just a regular dude. I used to be a big fan of Eddie Jones, who played for the Los Angeles Lakers. For some reason, he was one of my favorite players to watch. But they called him Superman. Now, Shaq obviously had the real Superman title, but they nicknamed him loosely. It wasn't a well-known name. The reason being, not because he was super strong like Shaq and he was unstoppable, he would disappear into the phone booth and become Clark Kent most of the time. Randomly, he'd break out these amazing games and he'd have a huge night where he'd score a lot. And then he'd go back to just being Eddie Jones. Pretty good player, but nobody outside of the Lakers really talked about him. And then once in a while, oh, there's 36 points. Eddie Jones, where did he come from? I worry that the Nuggets have Eddie Jones right now with Jamal Murray. But Jamal is not being paid like Eddie Jones was in those times. He is being paid like a James Harden. I'm going to get into all that story, too. Wow. Sounds like the Rockets are done with Harden. That situation is crazy. And I'm seeing rumors that maybe the Nets go after him. This is something to be concerned with. Because, I mean, what is it? This is his fifth year? Is this Jamal's fifth year? When do we stop going, well, if he could be consistent, he'd be really good? I mean, I'm the leader of that brigade, man. He has it. How does he get it out all the time? How do you even when we were asking questions about Joker, when does the Joker stop being so passive? He was kind of passive last night. When does he stop being passive and just take it and know that he's a superstar? But he still was performing well. Jamal just goes into this shell. And he's more Clark Kent than Superman. Goes into the phone booth and you don't see him again. So how do you get Superman out for the entire movie? I don't want to see Clark Kent writing. What is he? He's a writer, right? He's writing for the newspaper. I mean, that's usually a great cover. And then he has the glasses on and nobody knows the difference. It's absolutely crazy. Jamal needs to take the glasses off and be Superman. How does he do that, though? Is he just, I mean, I've never quite seen a player exactly like this. I know I'm comparing him to an Eddie Jones guy, but again, Jamal's bests are rivaled. I think you put it on the minute video. He's had some games where you go, MJ? Looks a lot like him. Little Kobe-esque there. And then he just disappears. How is that possible? Why does Jamal Murray go from superstar to just a starter? You could go, maybe Monte Morris should be starting for Jamal. How does that happen? I'm perplexed, like always. Second hour coming up. Don't forget, we'll have Dalton Reisner in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.